Thank you, brother. I take it that I am now correctly connected. Our subject tonight is one that we have considered in the past, the Word of God, the Bible. Now, you will recall when you were in school, and those of you now in school, from time to time you had to write a book report. And before you wrote the book report, you had to report on the author. What made him or her worthy of writing a book? And you had to have some information about the author. And so, for just a brief while, we're going to look at the author of the book. Who wrote the book? That determines how important the book is. 1 Peter chapter 1, please. I might say again, we shall be turning to many scriptures, but turn with me. It has been said that education is repetition. Do you remember when you learned the alphabet? May I see the hands of all here that learned the alphabet the first time they looked at it? I remember when I learned the alphabet, my father put the alphabet on the wall there. And the first day he said to me, "Arthur, this is A. When I come home, I want you to know A." And after 26 days, I knew all 26. And it's the same way with the scriptures. So as we turn, and as I often say, there is music in the pages. You listen carefully, you hear music when you turn the pages of your Bible. So let's turn together. 1 Peter chapter 1. Verses 10 and 11. Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, verse 11, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify when he testified beforehand the suffering of Christ and the glory that should follow. Who wrote the Bible? Not men. We just read here the Spirit of Christ. Is he qualified? Should he write a book? I think we will agree. 2 Peter chapter 1. Verse 20. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. Prophecy came not in old time by the will of man. Man didn't write this book. But holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Who wrote the book? The Holy Spirit. Holy men spoke as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And you say to yourself, well, suppose the man didn't want to write what God told him to write. You know the answer to that? They had to write it anyway. You remember with Balaam, he was paid to curse the children of Israel. And instead of cursing them, he blessed them. And Balak said to him, what's wrong? What's going on? I'm paying you to curse them. And you're blessing them. And you know what Balaam said? I have to do what God says. He's in control. And when God indicates that a person is to write, that person writes exactly what God tells him to write. Revelation chapter 1, please. Verse 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ. In most of your Bibles, the title of this book is The Revelation of St. John the Divine. It's not the revelation of St. John the Divine. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ. So just cross that out in your Bible and put in the right thing. This is the revelation, not of John, but of Jesus Christ, which God gave to him to show his servants things which must shortly come to pass. Verse 4, John, to the seven churches which are in Asia. John wrote what we are reading from the book. He wrote the words. But who told him what to write? Verse 4, which we just read. Verse 11, saying, I am, O Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. What thou seest, write in a book. The Spirit told him what to write. And this is true of the entire Bible. The author is the Spirit of God. Chapter 2, please. Verse 1. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write. Who told him what to write? Verse 7. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. John wrote it. The Spirit dictated it. And you'll find that in all seven messages. John wrote what the Spirit told him what to write. 2 Samuel chapter 23. Now I warned you that we would turn to many scriptures, and you get a real thrill of turning the scriptures. 2 Samuel chapter 23. Verse 1. Now these be the last words of David. David, the son of Jesse, said, and the man who was raised up on high, the anointed of God of Jacob, and the sweet psalmist of Israel, said. Now what did he say? Verse 2. The Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and his word was in my tongue. You read the Psalms, and at the head of many of the Psalms, you find the Psalm of David. But who told David what to write? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the author of the book. Matthew 22. Matthew chapter 22, verses 43 and 44. 43, he saith unto them, that is the Lord, how then doth David in spirit? Now here we must stop. In the King James Version, sometimes spirit is written with a small s and sometimes it's written with a capital S. Now, I know schooling is different now. You see, I speak of small s and capital S. What do you call them today? Little s and big s? Well, what do you call them?
Capital is good enough for me.
And so, when sometimes you see the word spirit in the King James Version with a small s. You must look into it to decide whether it's your spirit, another person's spirit, or the Holy Spirit. And if you will study this carefully, you will find that this is the Holy Spirit speaking in verse 43. He saith unto them, how then doth David by the Holy Spirit call him Lord? The Lord said unto my Lord. And when you go back to Psalm 110, that's where you find this quotation is taken from. But in Psalm 110, it says a Psalm of David. But here the Lord tells us that the Spirit told him what to write. What I'm emphasizing is that this book was written by the Holy Spirit. There are several other scriptures that we might turn to. I suggest that you look into them. Look up all the scriptures that tell you that the Holy Spirit wrote the book. You'll find it very fascinating. The expression, "thus saith the Lord," occurs 2,500 times in the Bible. Isn't that interesting? 2,500 times in the Bible we read, "thus saith the Lord." I like John Wesley's comment on this matter of who wrote the Bible. There are four possibilities. The devil might have written it. Wicked men might have written it. Good men might have written it. And God wrote it. Would the devil write it? Would the devil tell somebody to trust the Lord Jesus Christ?
No,
so he didn't write it. How about wicked men?
No.
Would wicked men tell people to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? No, so they didn't write it. Oh, how about good men? How about good men?
They will not be able to write it as God can write it.
That's right. If a good man said, "God said such and such a thing," and he said it, he wouldn't be a good man. Therefore, who wrote it? God wrote it. The Bible is the Word of God. 1 Thessalonians, please. Chapter 2. Verse 13. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. "For this cause also we thank God without ceasing, because when you received" what? The Word of God, "which you heard, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the Word of God." Do you like that sentence? Do you like that verse? The Bible is the Word of God. Brother George here to my right, as many of you know, I'm at the meetings because he's so kind as to bring me from home to the meeting and then take me from the meeting to home. And as we drive along, we talk about the Bible or general subjects as they relate to the Bible. I've never told him this, but there's one expression that he expresses from time to time. People need to know that the Bible is the Word of God. And that thrills me. And here it is. The Bible is the Word of God. Not the word of Shakespeare. Not the word of Cicero. Not the word of Aristotle. Why, the Bible isn't even the word of Darby. It's the Word of God. I like that so much. Luke 5 and 1. Luke chapter 5, verse 1. And all we're going to do here is just trace. Well, I shouldn't even say trace. Look at the verses that indicate that the Bible is the Word of God. That's all we're going to do. And when we finish that, we could go home. Because the only thing that I'm interested in impressing upon us is that which we already know, that this book is the Word of God. And when you hold this book in your hand, you are holding the Word of God. Not the word of Aristotle. Not the word of President Bush, the Word of God. To me, that's precious. There are some places, even today, and this has existed for years, in a whole community, there is only one Bible in the church building. And if you want to read the Bible, you go to the church building and you turn and you read, and the next fellow gets in line, and there's a long line there. One Bible in the community, and everybody has to read from the same Bible. Aren't you glad it isn't that way here? Do we treasure the Bible? The Word of God. I said Luke chapter 5 and verse 1. It came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the Word of God. Isn't that nice? They pressed upon the Lord Jesus Christ. They crowded on the Lord Jesus Christ to hear the Word of God. Chapter 8, please. Verse 11. Our Lord is again speaking. Now the parable is this. The word, the seed, is the word of God. Verse 21. He answered and said unto them, My mother and my brethren are those which hear the word of God and do it. The Lord thought a lot of the word of God, didn't he? And he here suggests that we are related to him in practice if we hear the word and do it. What do we think of the word of the Lord? Is it just something, oh, I need a little help so I'll find a scripture that'll help me? It's more than that. It's God speaking to us through his word. Chapter 11, please. Verse 27. It came to pass, as he spake these things, a certain woman of the company lifted up her voice and said unto him, Blessed is the womb that bare thee and the breast which thou hast sucked. But he said, read this, look at it, don't look at me. Yea, rather blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. How important is the word of God? The Lord said, blessed are they that hear it and keep it. The word of God. Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. Verse 14. Now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John. The Samaritans received the word of God. And that's what this world needs. That's what the United States needs. And this is why you find children finding guns, taking guns, going to school and killing people. They need the Word of God. The Word of God is powerful. Chapter 12, please. Chapter 12. Verse 24. But the word of God grew and multiplied. Isn't that nice? Oh my. It may not be growing too much on the outside, but there's one thing I like about this fellowship. From all that I can see and hear, the word of God is growing, especially among our young people. our young sisters and our young brothers. And it gives me great joy to hear a brother get up there on a Wednesday or on a Sunday and minister the Word of God. How do you feel about that? It gives me great joy. Great joy. The Word of God grew. Chapter 13, verse 44. Oh, I wish this could be true. 13 and 44. The next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the Word of God. Oh, that must have been a picture. All these people coming to hear the Word of God. And it's a reflection on our times. We have all these big church edifices. Many of them are filled on Sunday to capacity, but they don't hear the Word of God. They hear some social thing. I've told you this before. I think of one man, a minister of a gospel, not the gospel. There was no assembly in the area, so I went to hear this great man. He, with Roosevelt and Churchill, was numbered among the three greatest public speakers in the world. Wouldn't you like to hear him? I went to hear him on Sunday morning. And he read from the Gospel of John, chapter 1. You know, in the beginning? Read the whole chapter. And I waited to hear what he would say. You know what he talked about? Racial equality from John 1. Well, I just looked at the man. Is he in his right mind? Does he know how to read? Does he know what he's reading? The Word of God. Chapter 17. Verse 13. But when the Jews of Thessalonica had knowledge that the word of God was preached by Paul at Berea, they came hither also and stirred up the people. And we have that today. Those that don't like the word of God telling Brother George this evening, and I think I mentioned to him a little earlier. Outstanding TV man. Annie Rooney. Have you heard the name? Andy Rooney? Big man. He said, we don't need 10 commandments. 3 of them are out of order. All we need is 7. On the TV, for the world to hear. What do you think of it? And that's the way men are acting today, altering and twisting the Word of God. We're going to talk about that one day. Chapter 19, please. Oh, I like this. Verse 20. And while it may not be true in the world at large, it's true in this little company, for which I thank the Lord. 19 and 20, so mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. Oh, beloved, Keep studying the Word of God. Let it grow. Almost time to stop. And if I stop here, that would be all. The Word of God. That's the subject. But there is something about the Word of God. I use this expression all the time that I find fascinating. There's so many scriptures that I find fascinating. They're all fascinating when you get down to it. Isaiah chapter 40. The Word of God. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 8. The grass withereth. Is that true? The flower fadeth. Is that true? But, another of those buts, the word of our God shall stand forever. How do you like that? You mean I'm the only one here that enjoys that thought? The word of the Lord stands forever, beloved. You can't get rid of it. Oh, many have tried. You've all heard of Voltaire, great French atheist, burned many a Bible, hated the Bible and hated God's people. And the building in which he kept his office and in which he burned the Bible, that building today is manufacturing Bibles. You can't get rid of this book. We hold in our hands the Word of God that's eternal. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but this book remains. Doesn't it thrill you? Doesn't it make you feel good to know that you have in your hands something that will never perish? The clothes you have on, they're going to perish. You're going to outgrow them or outwear them. But you'll never outwear the Word of God. Psalm 119. The Word of God is eternal. Psalm 119. Verse 89. Oh, my daddy used to like this verse. He quoted it often. It's a precious verse. Look at it. Forever. When does that end? Forever. Oh Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Men may argue, they may disagree. God's word is settled forever. And these fellows going around condemning the word and finding fault with the word, as we shall see at another study, God's going to take care of them. But his word remains forever. Verse 152. Concerning thy testimonies, I have known from of old that thou hast founded them, how long? Forever. This book is forever. 1 Peter chapter 1 again. First Peter chapter 1. Verse 23. being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which lives and abides forever. I ask you again, how many things do you have that are going to last forever? The word of God lasts forever. And the beauty of it is that we have it in our hands. What do you think of it, beloved? What you are holding in your hand will last forever. To me, that's thrilling. I think I'll stop here. But I want to read for you the verses of a hymn. Unhappily, this hymn is not in our hymn books. The Bible stands. The Bible stands like a rock undaunted mid the raging storms of time. Think of this storm that's coming. The Bible stands in the midst of all the rages of time. Its pages with truth eternal, and they glow with a light sublime. The Bible stands though the hills may tremble. It will firmly stand when the earth shall crumble. I like that. This earth isn't going to always exist. Read it in Peter. He says it's going to burn up. And the Bible is going to be still there. And you're holding it in your hand. I will plant my feet on the firm foundation, for the Bible stands. Oh, beloved, the Bible is the Word of God. Let's cherish it. Let's take advantage of it. I was going to say, let us love it. Now, I'll leave that to each one to decide. But let's take advantage of this book and study it and learn it and know it. It is the Word of God. Hymn number 222, please.
Remember that hymn from my boyhood. Since I was a Baptist at that time, it must have been a Baptist hymn, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's a lovely hymn.
It's a lovely hymn, yes. And there's another poem that I like from childhood, The Anvil. Does anybody know the poem, The Anvil? You know what an anvil is. It's a metal plate that you shape things on. The anvil is there, and you take a hammer and shape whatever you want to shape from the anvil. And the poet says he looked at the anvil, and he looked at all the broken hammers, but the anvil remained. And they can beat at the Bible and criticize the Bible and what they want with the Bible. It remains. That's the book you're holding in your hand.
People are seriously trying to destroy and to burn and burn Bibles, but it's more than ever.
That's right. The more they burn it, the more it increases.
That's right.
Still the bestseller in the world today, mm-hmm. The Bible. The book you're holding in your hand. Number 222, please.